Hi, McCartney fans, and welcome to episode 114 of Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. As always, we are a Paul McCartney talk show mainly dealing with the solo career of our kid, Paul McCartney, and I am Tom Hunyadi, and you may know me from my other show, Talk More Talk, a solo Beatles video cast. And as always, I'm joined by my partner in crime, a backwards traveler. He is my buddy, Andy Nichols. Andy, what's going on, my friend?
Afternoon, and a little more than over a weekend to digest McCartney 3. And
it is here. Finally, we got it. Here's the target green. I know this was a little bit of a controversy out there because there wasn't many of these in the Target stores either. I mean, whether it was the CD or the vinyl or what, but we finally find. I've seen people are getting them. I had to go to two different locations to find one myself, but it's here. And McCartney 3 is here, and we've got a very special guest, and we all know him as the author of this bad boy right here, Paul McCartney, Recording Sessions 1969 to 2013, A Journey Through Paul McCartney's Songs After the Beatles. And he is the one and only Luca Perazzi. Luca, my friend, it is good to have you back on the show. Thanks for being here.
Oh, good evening, and thanks for the invitation. I'm very pleased to be with you also, because we have a brand new record.
Yes,
all right,
brand new record. and it didn't take 5 years to get it, right? You know, we've got a crappy situation. You know, as Paul said, you know, we weren't supposed to get a new album this year, but thankfully, well, I don't know, thankfully is the right word, but you know, the situation happened. COVID happened, and you know, we got the album in rock down, you know. So but Luca, the first thing I want to ask you, because you know, this book is just like open every day, just about in my home, you know, when I'm in my man cave, you know, doing research and whatever not. But it says, you know, 69 to 2013. Give us an update. Are you working on a part two? Because I think a lot of fans are curious and would like to know.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thanks for plugging again my book. Yeah, I'm definitely working on something else from quite some time now.
Right.
So there would be a new project. So right. I won't go for an update.
Right.
But for a completely new project. So basically it would be two volumes.
Okay.
So there would be maybe a little bit different in structure. So
okay.
I went for the songs in the recording date order. And this time it would be for releasing date.
Release date order.
Yeah, okay. but there would be also unreleased tracks, everything. But maybe it would be you know, better for, let me say, casual fans or something. It's not that does not mean it's less detailed. Well, okay. I got more material. I got more material this time, so I wanna include everything. So unreleased tracks, also tracks written by other people, which are
right.
left out from this
yes,
book.
Yes, you did. Right.
So
right.
yeah, there was a choice, you know. It was also to
right.
you know, to have only one volume, but this time it would be two volumes. And so
excellent.
Be patient, but in 2021 will bring us two brand new volumes on the subject.
Excellent.
That's
so yeah,
great.
Because you left out, you know, like the unreleased tracks. You said you're going to really put in really unreleased tracks this time, kind of stuff like Squid or Return to Pepperland, and you know, Yvonne's the One. You know, you're going to talk about songs like that this time around.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's really much more material that I was able
right.
to lean on. So mm-hmm. more interviews, and it's not a rewrite.
Right.
It's been redone completely. And mm-hmm. so you will be pleased. I'm pleased.
Great.
And
right.
and so be patient, but I think it would be one of the projects, because I know that some other friends over there are working on other
yes.
books. So
oh, yeah.
it's also good to have other people contributing to
yes,
the historical
sure.
research of McCartney's records right. and songs, because it's a canon that deserves to be analyzed and look at better
absolutely
than we know what we're talking about.
Yeah. Luca, a quick question on your original book when it came out. Why the approach to kind of write the songs in recorded order and not released order?
Well, it's because it's a you know subject that intrigued me, and we all know that Paul maybe records something, and then this has been on can be left on the shelves for years, right, if not for decades. So it was a kind of you know different approach, and I was intrigued by this, and so I went for this method, and well, this time it would be different, so. Yeah, let's do another project, and I'm very curious to know your opinion about it when it will be out.
It's just because that approach is a unique approach that you don't see in too many, especially McCartney books. Not that there's a ton of them anyway, but the ones that are out there generally follow that you know release format and not recorded format. So it was an interesting perspective to see the songs as they were written, as opposed to when they were released. And that was, you know, throughout the whole work, you know, text, it's nice to see that for a change, as opposed to the usual narrative throughout the course of his career.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, presenting a different kind of a different format.
Right.
Because, it's the only limit is that is for, you know, people that maybe know McCartney very well.
Right.
So it could be a little bit difficult for other people. So at this point, I think we miss a complete book on McCartney's songs.
Right.
That could be useful also for other people which are not really super fans or hardcore fans, as they called us. And so I think it will be a contribution to this incredible canon.
Right. Well, that's kind of like a gateway. I mean, a book like that could be, for a casual fan, could be a gateway to become a hardcore fan, you know, because that's a guide that people will need to find more of his music that's out there that could be hard to find. So, I mean, that's a great contribution right there alone. So we're definitely looking forward to that. And we'll definitely, you know, plug the hell out of that book as soon as it's ready next year. So please get right away.
Yeah.
Right away, as the song goes.
I think to close this subject, I think that, well, the way McCartney records the songs is very interesting. You know, it's a unique method. There's no many comparisons. So that's another reason why I went for the recording order of the songs. You know, I want to focus on this way of working in the studio, which is really incredible, let me say.
Right. Gotcha. Cool. All right. Well, thank you for that. Thank you for the update on the new project. So let's get into some McCartney 3 talk, because you know, if you're a follower of the Hoffman Forum, you notice that, you know, you're on there, you know, you've talked about getting the a copy early, if you will. So talk about getting the copy early and reviewing it.
Yeah, so since I'm writing for a couple of magazines, one is a web website, and the other is a paper magazine. So the one is the paper is Classic Rock, that has a UK part and an Italian one, and the website is called rockall.it. So I'm the one in charge for the McCartney reviews, as you can imagine. So they were in touch with Universal and Capitol, and they sent me this files for streaming. So I was able to listen to the record for a couple of weeks. So that allowed me to really digest it, and repeated listenings are really what we need when we want to assess McCartney, because this is a kind of music that you need to listen and re-listen it again for details and all these things. Upon first listening, I was not very pleased, probably. So I thought, well, this is a strange album, or to put it better, this is, I sensed that it was the opposite, let me say, of Egypt Station. So okay. I assessed it very positively in the end. I gave it 9 out of 10 because I like it very much. So, but it's an album with which has some kind of experimental flavors here and there. So it's very nice. And I was, after a while, I got accustomed to the songs. And as I wrote, these songs become your friends. So your new friends. Right. So you need time. You need time to, you know, to know better the songs. And after a while, I said, okay, this is a good album. This is a very good album.
Right.
Paul is 78. As we know, and pulling out this kind of music, to me, it's quite incredible, let me say.
Right. Were you surprised at the amount of people that got early review copies of this? Because it just seems like there was it got announced and then there was already a review. And then we've been gradually getting, you know, very, very early reviews of the album, which I think is odd sometimes. Odd. I mean, it just usually doesn't happen to see all these reviews so early.
So early.
I was speaking with the director of the website for which I'm collaborating to, and he said, "Well, it's strange that Rolling Stone, if I'm not wrong, got an early review. Last early November or something. So they went out with the November thing,
right?
And so the other magazine that had an early review was Uncut, I think."
Yeah, Uncut had one as well. Yep. And that was about a month before release as well.
Yeah, I think these were the two magazines that they choose to have an early plug-in. And then all the other reviews were embargoed, I think, until mid-November or something.
Yeah, right. It was a little bit more than a month. It was still right about a month away before we started getting, you know, like yours. I mean, my friend, you know, Ken Womack, who I do another show with, he did a review. So it just seemed like a lot of people out there were, you know.
It might be a case of, you know, normal traditional protocols for releases might have gone out the window given 2020. And they just said, here you go. Here's a copy of the album. Enjoy it, you know.
Right.
Whereas if we hadn't been going through, you know, a pandemic, maybe that wouldn't have happened. I don't know.
Right.
Just a thought.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, it's just being treated maybe quite differently this time.
What did you think of all the different variations once they were getting announced throughout the month leading up to its or the day up to it, pretty much, you know, to its release?
Well, this is a nice question. Okay, I'm not collecting them everything.
So you are a little bit of a collector, but not, you know, full blown collector.
Yeah, I'm interested if there's some new music or additional music in, so I can live with some variation. But I'm not collecting all the vinyl colored vinyl variation because it's not for me. But I understand that is it's a nice thing to do. And some of these editions are not available worldwide. So it would have been really, really hard to say, okay, I want to spend my 1,000 euros on this and have them all. But some are available only in the US. So you got to do the import. It's not that easy. Well, if you are into it, it's a nice thing. So I'm not getting people saying, well, it's a cash grabber thing. I don't know. You don't have the money to spend. You don't want to. Well, don't do it. You know, I'm not doing it. Don't buy it. So I bought the regular edition on CD, on vinyl, the Japanese edition, the fourth edition.
Oh, you paid the Japanese one? Yeah.
Yeah. The fourth editions with the bonus tracks. And so the music sheet with a CD. So I'm getting 7 copies or something. So yeah. I did my part on it.
You did pretty good. Well, I mean, even though there's all these variations, it's still not a guarantee that the album's going to go to number one, you know, or two for that matter. But I mean, I'm expecting it that it will do well. I mean, when you look at all these variations, whether it was, you know, 1500 to 4000, you know, it's still, you know, probably what, you know, 30,000 copies if all of those sold out, if that, you know. So, you know, it's not like you, I mean, yeah, it could have been probably a little overboard, but I love it. I think it's cool. I'm all for it, you know. I'll take the, I bought the cassette too, you know, so
I do as well. Mine that as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that Paul is not he did something in the past. I remember
Aegir Station, there was like 4 different variations.
Yeah, I mean, in another era, which is, I'm talking about 1986, 87, in the press play era, he put out all these remixes of songs. And I remember there was a piece by Mark Lewison on the Beatle Monthly Book or something. That talk about it wrote something like, well, it maybe it's too much, Paul. So this is a new frontier of having too much.
Right. But he's no stranger to it. I mean, like you said, I mean, I mean, we're used to him putting out, you know, multiple versions of whether it's a single or an album. So, you know.
Yeah, it's just that now it's just a little bit different now, given the extra vinyl. But that is concept of, you know, making lots of different formats is, as you say, Luca, is not new. He's been doing it to varying degrees of, you know, for 35 years plus.
Yeah. So nothing really, really new. It's maybe the number of variations this time is little. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's right. It's really big. And well, I don't know, then each collector has got his tastes, so I don't know. Which is the pleasure, I can understand, but which is the pleasure of having 20 vinyl on the shelf that you may probably will not play, I don't know. So, but anyway, it's fine, you know. I can perfectly understand that what does it mean to be a collector, but I got my limits, you know.
Right. We all do, my friend, we all do. let's talk about his voice on the album, because we all know that the voice has been, you know, I guess on, you could say, on a decline for the last, you know, decade or two, maybe decade and a half. And you know, it definitely sounds a little bit more rested on this album, and maybe that's due to the fact that, you know, the touring has ceased at the moment. Yeah. What were your thoughts on his voice on this album, Luca?
Well, let me say that Paul is one of the best voices in rock and roll. Well, I think it's fine. I mean, I don't, well, there's spots where you can hear it's a voice of a man who's 78. So I mean, there's nothing bad on it. I mean, right. He knows how to treat his voice in the studio. It's not that very treated. I mean, so I think it's quite natural. Also, the idea of putting those falsetto on the Keys of Venus. Well, it's aged, but it's perfectly fine. I mean, I don't have a problem with his voice on this album. Yeah. Well, the live stuff is different, you know. It's not easy to do concerts and having 2 hours and a half of screaming, right. And is struggling. But you know, people go to see his concerts because it's Paul McCartney, and it's a great show anyway. So let's accept it and enjoy it
for what it is. For what it is, I think it's his voice. As it's aged, it's a very honest aging, you know. It's just, it is, he doesn't hide the fact that he's older, so it's a very honest sounding, you know, ageness quality to it. I've always felt, especially
yeah, and I, And I think the songs that he's doing, I mean, blend well to his voice now. I think he's adapting. I mean, his voice or his vocals now are adapting to the songs that he's writing right now. I think, you know, I was very happy with his vocals here. I think they're even stronger than what they were on Egypt Station, but that's just my opinion. You know, I was very, I think the falsetto is very strong on here. I mean, it's not so bad strong, but right. It's, I mean, it's surprisingly good, you know? So, you know, I give him credit for that. I mean, the vocals were a lot better on this album, but the part that the what I really like about the album is his playing. I think he does some excellent guitar playing throughout. I mean, I would like to see some little bit more, shining on the bass, here. But the guitar playing throughout is superb. Don't you think?
Yeah, I agree with this. Instrumentally, this album is very interesting. So it's it's a little bit it's more, you know, raw than other stuff. So Egypt Station was well crafted, to maybe polished a little bit too much. This is you know more honest, let me say. Yeah, bass is it's not that shines, not that much. Guitar is very good, especially in Find My Way. I like very much the coda with all the effects on the guitar.
It's like the Dick Dale style surfing guitar, I think, a little bit at the end there. I think it was really nice addition.
And there's another guitar sound which I like very much, which is on Seize the Day. There's a nice sounding guitar. There's some bluesy guitar on Deep Feeling.
Deep Feeling, right.
Some pentatonic riff or something in Laboratory Lil. So yeah, it's Paul.
Oh, no doubt. That's Paul through and through. And Tom and I discussed this Friday night. We did a live reaction to the album. And one of the things we talked about in comparing McCartney 1, 2, and 3 is that McCartney 3, we feel, is this is obviously a little more polished than McCartney 1 and 2. Would you agree?
A bit, yeah. Yeah, but
production, you know, it's not so much. I mean, it's homespun, but this one seems a little more polished than the other two.
Technology being a little bit better these days, you know.
We have to take in account that he recorded a part of McCartney on his four track studio, and this time he has a Neve console which has I don't know how many tracks. It's really an incredible setup, so it's different. So considering all of this, I think it's not too refined. I mean, it's
A little bit, just naturally given the course of technology over the course of 50 years, especially considering it's his true first solo album, you know, in 40 years. So, you know, true.
Thoughts on the cover? With the die, with the single die, and you know, just the three, you know. Kind of interesting. Not very inspirational. I don't know, maybe. But the back, I mean, there's a couple different back photos, you know, on different variations of them. And again, like the first McCartney record, you kind of feel like the back should have been, you know, this should have been the other way around, you know?
How do you feel? What do you think about the cover, Luke?
It's so and so. I mean, it's an interesting artistic concept, but probably we would have chosen a different thing. Maybe it's something that I think New has an abstract cover. Egypt Station has a painting, so it's maybe it could have been better to have Paul's face on it, but you know, it's been a while.
We had a recent photo of Paul on an album cover.
Driving Rain would have been the last studio album.
That was blurred. That was still blurred.
Yeah.
Chaos was him, but it was a younger photo of him.
Yeah, exactly. And then maybe probably Flaming Pie was the last album with
contemporary photo looking of McCartney. Yeah. So it's Interesting.
Yeah, he likes to do strange things when it comes to to covers, you know. Yeah. So he's capable of doing something like in the case of Wings Greeters, right, that he spends like $8,000 to have a single cover, you know. I'm more interested in the music than in covers,
of course. But
I mean it's I agree with you. Well, I would have chosen a different cover, but it's fine anyway.
So let's talk about the title of the album just being McCartney 3. Because, mm-hmm, we had 70, we had 1980, you know, 90 comes around, you know, no McCartney 3, you know, and so on and so on. I really think the excitement level of this being called McCartney 3 has really just, you know, made people feel just, you know, happy that still, again, more happy that we're getting a record because of just the excitement of it being called McCartney 3, since it's been so long since we had since McCartney 2. You know, what were your thoughts when you heard it was going to be called McCartney 3?
I went crazy. that's my feeling, and I think he perfectly knows that when he calls an album like McCartney 3, and he knows perfectly that fans are waiting for this kind of thing.
Yes,
and so it adds a layer of excitement for all of us.
Sure.
For all of us, and we can talk about the fact that there's some other musicians on this
album. Oh, yes. And you know what? And I remember you did post something on that on Hoffman Forum, didn't you? Because then, because when we get to that song, and then the credits in the booklet, too, it's really weird how they credit Abe and Rusty on the and the credits. So we'll talk about that in a second when we get to that particular song. But let's talk about some tracks here. The opening track, starting off with pretty much an instrumental, Longtail Winter Bird. I mean, starting off with the instrumental was a pretty bold choice.
Yeah, it's an odd choice. I was a little bit perplexed because I thought, well, it's going on and on. It's more than 5 minutes, so I was expecting the track to end at some point,
right?
And it never ends. So, but it's something that it's typical of Paul. So it was the first track recorded for the album, as I read.
Okay,
and odd choice, but in the end, it works. I mean, it's a little bit too long.
Yeah, could have
maybe 1 minute of editing would have been good.
Yeah,
but anyway.
Yeah,
but I mean, I like the bird thing. You know, he's peppers us with bird songs, you know, throughout his whole career. You know,
I think the most interesting thing is that is based on an acoustic guitar riff, which is bluesy. So it's not that often that McCartney throws in some bluesy stuff,
right?
And I like it. It's a really nice riff that sticks in your head after a while. Yeah,
after a while, I'll agree, because at first I wasn't really keen on it. I mean, it was the first song that we got a snippet of with that first trailer. So I was thinking, okay, great, he's gonna give us a couple instrumentals, but unfortunately, we just got the one. But I love that he uses the stand up bass or the double bass, if you will, Bill Black bass. Yeah, you know, I think that was a nice addition. The thing that, I mean, I think it would have been cool, but obviously since it's a McCartney 3, he can't, you know, have other people supposedly on the album. But the horn bit, because there's some horns, synth horns on a couple tracks, and it would just be really nice if they were real actual horns, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, you understand. But
let's accept this synth horns here. Yeah. I never been a fan of synth horns live,
right?
But that's
exactly.
Yeah. I think everybody universally feels that that song could have been edited down by a minute or two. Every review, every reaction video we've seen, everybody kind of universally feels that the first track could have been whittled down by about another minute or two.
Right. Right. So, but I do like the vocal effects.
Yeah.
When he does the "Do You Feel Me?" You know, I think those effects on those lyrics are pretty good.
Yeah.
So, Annie, anything else you want to add to that?
No, that's it. I think we all agree on that one. Find My Way.
Yeah, Find My Way. So this was the track that Annie and I, we got to hear because a DJ who does records a Breakfast with the Beatles here in the States, he played this track and he played When Winter Comes. And then we found out a day or two later that he wasn't supposed to play those tracks. but we heard, so we got to hear those early. And Find My Way, for me, was an instant McCartney classic. I just feel it's got everything that I love to hear, you know, and in McCartney's song, the instrumentations are excellent. I think, you know, the falsetto in this one too is really good, really strong. And, you know, and then again, we got that coda that, you know, we've been kind of getting a little bit more of with albums, especially with like songs like Get Started, you know, from the Egypt Station. So, you know, talk about that for a minute, Luca.
Yeah, it's a very nice track. It's one of the most, accessible tracks. I know it's a poppy track, so very catchy. Yeah. And for me, the standout part is the coda with all this effects on the guitars. And I think you played with this Brenel machine to achieve this effects of all these guitar lines that are overlapping or something. So it's, typical McCartney ideas.
Right.
Yeah. It's how to, you know, to make a track more and more interesting. Mm-hmm. So that's a research in sounds and experimenting a bit. Yeah. You know, so you have a pop track with a nice catchy chorus, but you also have some experimental effects here and there which are catchy as well.
Right. So, the one, the part that I really dug was when he repeated verse one the second time around, you have him do his regular voice, and then he had the combination with the falsetto voice as well. I thought that was a really cool addition to the
multi-track.
There you go. Because, you know, on this one, he kind of almost like talks through it a little bit during the verses, kind of like something like Neil Diamond would do, you know, in some of his songs. So you really don't, it's not really like a, you know, a singing McCartney, if you will, until he gets to the chorus, you know. But this song, I think it was great. Again, you know, just the playing on this is just superb, and I was just really blown away by his playing on all of these tracks.
And this one, I think, was a little bit a little bit of a grower, just because we had heard a leak of it and the quality wasn't that great. And obviously, once we had the official album come out and to hear it in a pristine quality, really, obviously, was you could hear all the instrumentation. To your point, Luca, the guitars and anything, and the really. Just top-notch McCartney. I think we knew that the second we heard it. This was going to be the most commercial track, or one of the most commercial tracks on the
album.
One of
them, yeah.
I agree also on the vocals, because he uses the deep quality of his voice in the verse and the high register one.
Right.
And the other part. So it's a nice combination. Yeah.
Yes.
It's,
Yeah.
It's a very good track, yes.
Yeah. Next up, we got Pretty Boys, which for me, this was the one that took me, or one of the tracks that took me a few listens to really start appreciating. On first listen, I was kind of like on the fence with it, but, you know, listening to the acoustic guitars and listening to finally, you know, going through the lyrics, and I think some of his best lyrics are on this song. There's one line that I really like, and it's called "A Line of Bicycles for Hire, Objects of Desire, you know, working for the squire." You know, I think that's a really cool line.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be about male models. I mean, who knows? I mean, whatever. It's a really good track. And I'm finding myself really liking it more. And again, at the end, when he does the "Better Not, You Better Not Touch" twice, it's got some really cool vocal effects on that one as well, that I think it would have been really cool if he added more of that, you know, earlier on in the song, you know. But good track, Luca.
Yeah, it's an acoustic track. It's a nice story behind it. The lyrics are interesting. I agree with you. If I'm not an English native speaker, but I can hear this words and I find it interesting. So
yeah,
it's a nice arpeggio on guitar. I'm not sure if you're using the 12 string or it's a regular 6 string one.
Yeah.
But it's nice, and in the end, it's we can feel at home with this kind of track with McCartney.
Yes.
So,
right.
So also the vocals is very nice. It also has this deep quality. Someone has compared this song to early days or something. I can understand, but well. Early days, the vocals on early days was a little bit more fragile.
Right.
This time it's a little more spot on, probably.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I like also this one.
Yeah, right. I enjoy this one quite a bit. I like the whistling in it too.
Oh yeah, whistling was a great addition. I mean, he's such a great whistler. You know, one of the frustrating things for me though on this flipping through the booklet is you know, the instruments that he uses per song, you know, aren't on label like they have been in past McCartney albums. You know what I mean? So you can't, you know, like you said, the 12 string guitar. I mean, it would be really nice to know if that's exactly what he used for, you know, for the track, you know, so.
This is another thing that is interesting and also force us to research.
Right.
A lot.
People like yourself.
Because,
yeah.
Yeah, because you can with McCartney, you can have one album where it is full of details, and then the following one, you have to go crazy for understanding. There's no recording dates here,
right.
Which I mean, I'm sure that they tracked everything, so it's not that difficult to track down the basic tracks for 10. Songs this time, but we don't know.
Right, exactly. So,
we just knew that he recorded it in his home studio there at the middle, and that was it.
Rockdown,
yes. Next song, Woman and Wives, which is one of the more interesting tracks on the album, I think. You know, again, you know, the piano, you know, we have to have some kind of piano song in a McCartney album. It's not really a McCartney record until you have that, you know, McCartney or that piano bass track, you know, and I think this is the one on this album. I you know, again, some really interesting lyrics in this one. And I love the first verse alone, I think. It's really cool. You know, hear me, women and wives, hear me, husband and lovers, what we do with our lives seem to matter to others, you know, and I think that part was what really grabbed me. I think it's really interesting, you know, what maybe his thought process was on those lyrics. But again, you know, the tempo, it's kind of almost like a chaos tempo sounding song, maybe. I don't know if you guys would agree with that or not. But then the vocal approach also, I think, is very interesting on this one as well.
Yeah, I think that I was really shocked when I heard it the first time, because I was saying, what is doing? Because it's a different quality. So I was... Obviously, I didn't know about the fact that he was inspired by a book on blues and Lead Belly. So I just grabbed this quality, which I thought, well, it's really interesting. So it's one of my favorite songs.
Oh, great.
I like it very much. So right. I think this vocal and this approach is makes the song more interesting. So the lyrics, as you said, are very, you know, poignant. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not a typical, you know, piano ballad as we can expect from him. So it's not a song in the tradition of you know, My Love or Only Love Remains. So all
probably
this kind
closer
of thing.
To something like I Don't Know, maybe.
Yeah, also has a chaos and creation quality, as you were
darker.
Mentioning.
Darker.
Yeah, it's darker. But as I told you, it's one of my favorites. So it is using the stand-up bass of Bill Black here.
Yeah.
And I spotted some not really good notes here and there.
Well, I mean, I don't think he ever learned how to really properly use a stand-up bass, you know. So
no, but it's part of the, you know, of this recording. You have to dig this record for what it is, and I think he likes to say, okay, this was a flat note. Let's leave it. Right. And that's the good thing about this record. I like it very much because you can hear the double bass or the stand-up bass sizzling. You can really hear this, and at some point there's a flat note, I'm quite sure. So, but it's it's McCartney, so it's something that he likes to do and we like to hear.
Yeah. Andy, anything you want to add?
Yeah, just the vocal definitely just was a three off upon the first listen, and I could see why some people were like, wow, what's this? But as Lucas said, now it's probably one of his favorite songs on the album, so it's McCartney albums. You really have to listen to it many times to really appreciate everything else that's going into a song like this. You know, you first hear it and you're like, whoa, that's not like McCartney, but it is. You just need to listen to it and understand what he's going for. And Women and Wives is a song like that, which I, you know, with every listen, it's growing on me for sure. So I was much like Luca. I didn't really love it initially, but it's growing on me. And I think that there's a lot of songs for me personally on this record that are growers.
Yeah, growers.
There's lots of growers on this record for me.
Yeah, there was some talk also on the Steve Offen forums by someone who said, well, I listened to this a couple of times and I don't like it. So I'm personally suggesting to listen to it again and again. Then at the end of the day, you can say, well, I don't like it. So I'm not suggesting that you're going to like it after repeated listening, but it's something needed with McCartney's music in general. So, well, if you listen to something like you know, Flowers in the Dirt is a really, you know, an album of pop songs that are instantly recognizable, and so it's a different thing. In this case, well, let's live with it a bit.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. Now, when you received the copy, did you get any written text, any history about it? You just got the music, right, to go by?
Only the songs, the files, 11 files. Yeah. So I was able to stream this in a quite good quality at home. So I, you know, full quality. So I wasn't exposed to any leaks or something, which is, I remember in the past it happened that something leaked like a driving rain at the time.
Right. Yeah.
I think it leaked at some point, and I couldn't resist to listen to a couple of MP3 before the album.
Hey, listen.
But it was not the best experience because you have to listen to the PC speakers or something. So at the time it ruined all my listening experience.
Right, I hear you. Now,
so
all right, cool. Well, let's continue with one of the more interesting tracks on here. One of the more upbeat, I think, really cool tracks on here. Lavatory or whatever, you know. I can think he pronounces it Lavatory Lil in the song. I mean, again, this is these rockers. There's a, you know, the rocker we'll talk about later. I mean, it's a welcome surprise in a way because he really hasn't rocked out that much, you know, on records the past 20 years or so, maybe even the last 30 years, he hasn't really rocked out that much. And this is the kind of rocker that I really, you know, like to sink my teeth into. And it's got the lyrics that you can really, you know, have fun with as well, you know?
Yeah, it's, I've heard some criticism about this track, but I like it very much. I mean, we have another slight blues connection here. So we have the acoustic riff in Long Tail Winterbird. Right. We have the Lead Belly reference in Women and Wives. And we have another blues rock riff here.
Right.
So very, very short track, which adds to the enjoyment, I think.
Yes.
And lyrics, well, we want to know, obviously, Who is this person? Exactly. But we are not going to know
Right. I mean, it's almost kind of like the riding the Vanity Fair. We kind of have like an idea, but we're never going to really know, you know.
Well, let me just add that I would be surprised if it was Heather Mills, because I don't think it makes sense after many 20 years.
Yeah,
you know, 20 but years. But who knows? Maybe you woke up one day and say, "Well, you know what? Who knows?" But let's enjoy the music, and also I think the lyrics are very, very fun. So
absolutely.
I
mean, yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. Andy?
Yeah, I have enjoyed it too. Got a very good bass part that plods along throughout the whole thing. So good. I always enjoyed the bass riff. Bass seems on this one, you know, very strong on this track throughout the whole thing. And then 2.5 minutes, you're done.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's perfect. You know, you
contrast.
Hope for,
you know, you've got a lot of contrast in this. You got Women and Wives, sorry, plain ballad. You know, slow plot, and then boom, Lavatory Lil. You know, so the sequencing was good. You know, a good job on the sequencing of the tracks on this one.
Right. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I mean, that's definitely a standout track for me. The next one, which has been the cause of a lot of talk that I've noticed on Facebook, and if you're listening to it on CD, it's the next track. If you're listening to it on vinyl, actually, there's a slight different track listing. No big deal, but if you're listening to it on vinyl, after Lavatory Lil, you'll get Slidin'. But if you're listening to it on CD, you're gonna get Deep Deep Feeling, which is the one we're gonna talk about next. And you know, again, this was the 8 minute plus track that a lot of people were looking forward to, because I think we heard early on in the Hoppin' Forum that there was gonna be a longer song on here. And it's definitely interesting. I like the drumming, you know, throughout. It's, you know, the guitar throughout that's in the distance that you hear is really good. This is the one but it's kind of like Rinse the Raindrops, where he just is repeating the same thing over and over again throughout the song for the most part.
Yeah, I think it's let's say, as Paul also admitted, it's overindulgent. But who cares? I like it, because I wanted the opposite of Egypt Station. Let me tell you, because I didn't like very much Egypt Station. I'm not the biggest fan of Egypt Station. So this time we have 44 minutes of music, which is not a long album, and Egypt Station was nearly 1 hour.
Yeah, right.
So he throws a track of more than 8 minutes in. So it's typical McCartney. So I think this song harmonically has two chords or something. So it's very basic structure, and then he layers a lot of variations on it. So in the end, it fits with the concept of this album and the way he intended it, the way he recorded it. So I think I'm very pleased with this kind of. It has a nice atmosphere. Also, in this case, it's a little bit somber, darker. It's Paul described the song as claustrophobic or something like that. So I like this track. You have to love McCartney to you know, maybe to get through. And then maybe the only thing that was not needed, in my opinion, is the last minute or something when he
Because it's another
on acoustic guitar, which reminds me a bit of How Kind of You from Chaos and Creation. But as a overall, as a whole effect, is a good song. I mean, it's a good atmosphere. So I like it. I like it very much.
So you get another false ending in a way on this one as well, and then another, you know, minutes worth of him going at it again. But Andy,
it's a very hypnotic song. You know, it's the drums.
The bass drum, I think.
And the low, you know, quiet piano. Piano and bass, really, for a good half of this song, most of this song, plodding along. And it's a song that I think most people are like, that's not Paul McCartney. But It's just you have to listen to it and kind of absorb yourself in the music to understand it a little bit.
Right.
And I know there's a lot of people that don't like this song, but if they give it a chance and just kind of lose themselves in the music, I think that they will come to like this
right.
as time goes on.
This is what the kind of thing that I want my favorite artist to do. I mean, something different.
Challenge your listener.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But you know, he's doing something different.
Yeah, I agree. And also in this case, I was very surprised to hear some little nice touch on it, like well, there's a bluesy guitar again,
right?
Well, with some long sustained notes.
Yes,
there's a couple of chords which reminds me a little bit of AC Jazz atmosphere. So it's not something you can expect. You expect from McCartney, which is exactly what you were saying. So that's what we want from him at this point, anyway.
Right. You know? I think there's a nice mellotron throughout the whole
yeah.
You know, but it's kind of buried. You gotta listen, you gotta have headphones on.
You can't listen to this track and watch TV.
Or
be distracted. You need to listen to the music proper without any distractions to really understand what's going on in this song.
Production-wise, 60s and 70s style. Sit down on the floor, you know, get the headphones on in front of the record player, open up the gatefold, you know.
And I think even people listening to records today, even older people from that generation, kind of get caught up in getting distracted and actually just forgetting to listen to.
Yeah, I think we forgot how. Yeah, and to your point, I think we, in a way, sometimes we forget how to just stop for an hour and really listen and appreciate to.
Right, it's not a generational thing. People even of our age or older kind of get lost in having the music accessible so easily digitally. You can kind of do a lot of other things, but it takes a concerted effort to put a record on, listen to a track that's 8 minutes and 26 seconds like this, and really listen to it and dissect it, you know, not just listening to it once and going, oh, that stinks.
Right.
Not everybody's going to love it, but you really should listen to it proper before you make an assessment like that.
Right.
Yeah, you touch an important point, Andy. I think that these days it's as you said, music is accessible in a different way. So we all are distracted by all the things, and there's a tendency to do more than one thing at a time, which is not good. So, let's enjoy this music. And I did it like you described. So just put this music on, doing nothing else, and listen to it again through my headphones at night or something. So, and you fell into this music and you're going to appreciate more.
Gotcha. Cool.
Spot on.
Right. Okay. Let's move on. Next track is I think the one track that we haven't questioned whether or not that he did this on his own or not. And that's Slidin', which for me, again, it's another highlight. I mean, I really like the second side of this album. I think it's a really good second side of an album. And we learned that this was a leftover from Egypt Station, worked with, Greg Kirsten? There's this really cool line in here, which is very, you know, psychedelic to me in a way. It's, you know, I can see my body through windows in my hair, you know, and I think this is very, you know, acid trip maybe type of lyric there. But the reason why we call in question is because if you look at the credits and the back, it says engineered by, except for track 7, which says also with Greg Kirsten, Rusty Anderson and Abe Laboral Jr. Why would that be under the engineered by, and why isn't that, is that to kind of like to hide the, you know, instruments, you know, or who played on what kind of effect like, but if he did indeed have those two gentlemen play on this track, why couldn't he just say, okay, this was just a leftover, you know, track from Egypt Station? And yeah, because, you know, we did get that Rusty interview from a month and a half ago where he did say something, but then that part was removed from the interview.
Yeah, probably he told something, then yeah. They say, well, don't say nothing more. So they didn't want to reveal nothing, because McCartney, right, Paul is marketing this album, saying that,
right,
I'm playing everything.
Right.
Which is, strictly speaking, is not true. But right, we have to remember also that McCartney features Linda on vocals on,
yes,
I'm five a, tracks.
Yep,
so,
yep,
that's, and that's McCartney, right, 2 features Linda on vocals at least on 2 tracks.
Yes.
So, okay, this time we have Abe on drums and Rusty, right, on guitar, and Paul, right, plays bass and guitar.
Right.
This is a credit I have. Because, mm-hmm, I didn't have any credits, as I mentioned before,
right,
when I received, right, the files, but I was a little bit suspicious when I heard the song, mm-hmm, because it's this big, you know, loud, yes, sounding track, and I said, well, this could be Abe,
yeah,
okay. So I wasn't sure, but when I received the credits, and I saw the names of these two musicians, right, I went back to Rusty's interview. Yeah. So yeah, it's not a scandal. I mean, that there's
no
one drum part.
One guitar part,
I received, yeah, a couple of emails from someone. I said, well, I feel cheated. I don't know. I understand that it's not all McCartney, but we're speaking about one drum part and one guitar, right, part in one album. So, right, let's accept it. Well, it's a very loud track, and
yeah,
I mean, I think that there's an interesting and wise choice on the vocals, because it puts the vocals in the background.
And I, yeah, think that was instead, a cool,
instead
cool
of,
thing. Yes,
yeah,
up front.
Instead of screaming up, yeah, front, which you can feel the fatigue,
yes,
in his voice a bit. So this time it works perfectly, my opinion.
Yeah. Andy?
Agree. Very heavy record, kicks off the beginning. But putting the vocals in the back was a wise choice. Probably would have fit nicely on Egypt Station, easily, you know, for another track. But I'm glad that it was left over, because it makes, yeah, this album even stronger. The definite highlight, stand out, Sliding.
Same here for me, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Let's see here. I kind of get those little Foo Fighters with this track a little bit. You know, I don't know if you guys are Foo Fighter fans at all, but that's just my sense. Next track we're going to get with The Kiss of Venus, which again, you know, it's very, very good, strong falsetto singing voice from Paul. I think I really dig this one again. It's a great acoustic playing throughout the track, which we see quite a bit of on this album as well. I don't know. What do you think? It's and it whips out the harpsichord chord as well throughout the track, which I think is
love
a welcome surprise.
Harpsichord chord use in this song is, right, fantastic.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah, he likes a lot harpsichord, and I agree. The harpsichord part adds something really special. So the thing is, with the vocals, this falsetto is capable to reach these high notes, which is, mm-hmm, incredible. So obviously, it's not in full power of his voice. It's a different kind of voice, but let me say that I would, I would be very happy to sing like this at 78. I'm not capable to do it. I'm not capable to do it now, like it does. The main thing about this song, I think, is the melody. Regardless of if you're a fan or not of the falsetto, I think the melody sticks in your head. So I think it's a gentle song, because maybe the part when he sings The Kiss of Venus, well, the chorus is the catchiest part. The other two parts are a little bit more, you know, average, let me say. So,
right,
but in the end, it works as a
acoustic
track.
Absolutely. Lyrically, it's not the strongest. You know, he gets in this rhyming pattern, yeah. you know, lake, take, awake, shake, break, you know, awake, you know, like in the, yeah, like yeah. In the middle eight, you know, kind of like, you know, what am I to do if I don't have you? I'll be feeling blue. You know what I mean? It's just, he just gets in this rhyming bit that he just has a hard time shaking loose every once in a while, you know, so. Andy?
I think that the use, yeah, I agree with all those points, but yeah. I think when the harpsichord kicks in, you've got that kind of Baroque pop thing coming back again, and that's the nostalgia. I think people hear that, and there's that, you know, that you're transported back to, you know, memories of Beatles stuff. I think that's what I heard. Yeah. When I hear that harpsichord kick in.
Oh, yeah, you're just Beatles. You know?
Yeah, that's Baroque pop, you know, Beatles at its best. Just right. that little small section.
Right.
Yeah. Let me add that I've learned that with McCartney songs, you have to be very careful because you listen to it and said, well, I don't know. Then you wake up the following morning and you are humming this and you say, well, yes. you won. You won, man.
You won again. You won again.
That's
the power of McCartney. Really that, is.
It's amazing. It really is.
And it's a power of melody, and it's something that that's why I consider really I like very much other artists. Like Andy, you are wearing a Dylan t-shirt. I like very much Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
In the end, McCartney has got this gift, which makes him number one. So you can really hum all of these songs from Helter Skelter to Yesterday. I mean, it's incredible. So
it's an incredible again, gift. Incredible yeah. gift.
Yeah.
Moving on to another song, I guess, to me is another highlight. That's, you know, Seize the Day. You know, which again, it's kind of have a little Beatley feel to it, I think, maybe. You know, again, he kind of talks through the lyrics a little bit like Neil Diamond does a little bit, but I don't mind that. You know, I really don't. I think it kind of, you know, enhances the song a little bit. And, you know, again, it's got a really nice a middle eight, which there's a couple of them on here. He's got some really strong middle eights, you know, on this record as well.
Yeah, it's consists of different parts, and it's built in a clever way. And there's a incredible harmonic change near the end.
Yeah.
That is very McCartney. And, you know, it's very catchy. It's quite a psychedelic a little bit.
Yes.
I hear some psychedelic touches
yeah.
Here and there. Well, lyrics are very good, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's another one of my favorites. So I think there are some nice, very basic but very effective fills on drums.
Yeah.
So you can detect that is McCartney without knowing it.
Right.
So
again, his drumming is really strong on this album as well. But you know that first verse, you know, it's got, you know, I don't care to be bad, I prefer to think twice. All I know is it's quite a show, but it's still all right to be nice. You know, you kind of have that, you know, happy with you type thing. You know, it's like I used to get, you know, I used to drink too much. I used to get stoned, you know, a little bit, you know, just that same kind of rhythm of the song a little
right,
bit.
Right, but the difference in this song is when it goes to the chorus, when the chorus
exactly.
comes and the descending
right.
bass lines.
Yeah.
Plus take the, you know, the multi-layered track, the vocal effect.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just a single vocal track. It's
right.
You can hear, he's doubled up here, at least. Mm-hmm. So that, right. that the vocal effect on top of a great melody and hook makes this track, you know, this is my favorite on the album.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I put this on the same level as Women and Wives, which
Women
is a
Wives?
Different kind of song.
Right.
And another one which I won't mention.
Okay.
Because we are not talking about it yet.
Yeah. Well, let's see if it's the next one. Deep Down Here. This is the song that I think would have really benefited from a really cool, funky bass line. I mean, it's okay, but just this, because it's kind of like a little bit of a funky song musically, in my opinion. Again, you get the fake horns, which would have benefited from real horns on this song. So I kind of feel wish like he would have maybe held this song for another time, you know, to where we can get, you know, a more, maybe a bigger production, you know, on this song a little bit. But, you know, again, it's, you know, deep down, it's like, you know, Rinse the Raindrops, where he's just repeating the same thing, you know, over again. Yeah. So it sounds like he did this track and then kind of like ad-libbed the lyrics, is kind of like what I get from listening to the song.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it reminds me from the start, it has a sort of a rude studio demo quality. It reminded me of this demos with his Fender Rhodes piano and drums. I think it's a real drums. Although at the beginning I was thinking about it's an electronic drums or something. Yeah, but
okay.
the credits seem to say it's Paul on drums, real drums. But who knows? There are errors sometimes also in his records. So it has a R&B sort of quality. So I think the standout part is the guitar line, which is another thing that you hum. There's my wife humming this guitar line over and over. So it's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, the way he, you know, sings it, you know, and going get deep down. No, wait, I'm sorry. That's you know what I mean? It's just he changes it up a little bit throughout it. It's I think this is a fun one. You know, I don't dislike it at all. I think it's interesting. Again, it's a track where you're challenging your listener again, you know?
Yeah.
So Andy?
I like this one musically, not so much lyrically. I really enjoy the instrumentation on this one. The drums, very high hat, the drums are very high mixed on this track. You know, to me, it's nothing more than a little more than a jam that's on the album. But, you know, I wouldn't skip it. It's not a favorite of mine, but I enjoy the playing of it. Again, it's just like a Rinse the Raindrops effect. It's, you know, and again, in a year's time, I might feel differently, but to me, it's just a jam. It's like, to Lucas' point, very rude studio, you know, quality like to it. I couldn't agree with that more.
Right. Cool.
Yeah,
right.
In this album, I think we can find this kind of, you know, there's three tracks which are very long. You know, the first one, Deep Feeling and Deep Down. So, the balance between, you know, very short tracks and all this kind of improvisation. So it's a characteristic of this new album, I think. It's so this time you went for something different.
Gotcha. Cool. So moving on to the final track, and it's Winter Bird, When Winter Comes. So it's kind of almost like a Winter Bird link or a reprise, if you want to, and then into the When Winter Comes. So what did you think about that? Excuse me, when you first heard it, because to my ears, the Winter Bird part just sounds a little too loud, going into a more gentle
and forced in a way.
Yeah, it is forced. It is forced. So probably the acoustic guitar edition intro to When Winter Comes, it was not needed. I mean, we all know that Paul likes to throw in something that it's a circular thing. So he likes to maybe start the album in one way, and at the end he puts something to remind the beginning of it. But you know, and the song itself, When Winter Comes, it's a really nice song. I mean, it's a third favorite of mine. And I think, well, it's from another era, and so you can obviously hear it, vocals, it's from 1992. Well, it's an acoustic track, but well, let's go.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I mean, and I hope fans understand that it's a different era of Paul McCartney when they hear this record. If you're a casual fan, you know, they're hearing all these songs and then they're hearing, you know, a better sung McCartney, you know, track in a way, you know.
Well, I'm pleased. Well, I don't know, because there was some talk also on the forum with Steve Hoffman, and someone asked, "Well, it's an old recording or not?" Yeah, to my ears, it's clear that it's an old recording.
Right.
So, but it, the song is so nice that I think it, it deserved to be released on an album. I don't know if it, this is the right one or not, but let's take it as it is.
So
we have a really nice track. It reminds me a bit of, I don't know, it's a Buddy Holly quality or something. Mm. It's very simple and very hummable. Again,
it's, yes.
It's a very light way to end an album. So Paul likes to maybe to close an album with a bombastic thing. In some other cases with something like low key. This is
like
a
Great Day.
Case.
Like
Great Day.
Same sessions, by the way.
Yeah.
You know. And it kind of harkens back to the Heart of the Country, Paul McCartney, you know, in a way. It's, you know, I like the feel. And I wonder if he attempted to sing this song proper now, you know what I mean, before he decided to put, you know, the track as is on the album. I wonder if he attempted it, because I think his vocals now maybe would have handled this song okay.
Yeah, it could be, but probably the original recording is so good.
Yes,
that probably wasn't worth to try it again. So I'm fine with this old recording. I mean,
yes, yeah,
amazing. He was 50 years old when he made this, and he sounds so much younger than 78. Right? Isn't it amazing to think about it? And you know, but he was back then. People thought he was ancient when he was 50, and now he's 78, putting out another record, and delivering a nice nostalgic throwback song. Perfect album closer in the vein, in the tradition of Great Day, Mama's, but from that same ilk, Mama's Little Girl, the Heart of the Country, it has that quality to it. And it closes the album beautifully, I think.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So you, and then how many times do you think you listened to it before you actually reviewed the album?
Well, I think at least 20, 30 times.
Oh wow! That many? Wow! Wow! Yeah.
I went to this through this 2 weeks, and I at least twice a day, twice a day, because it's really can I want to repeat it, that it's important with Paul music, Paul's music, to listen to it again and to discover all these little things that are in the arrangement. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's a different kind of music compared to others, so you have to really understand what's going on.
I agree.
At the beginning, you are kind of surprised. Maybe you don't understand. So I like to analyze also music. So it's not that I enjoy music only through the analyzing, but it's something that you can add enjoyment to your listening. So yeah, I listen to it very much, a lot of times.
Yeah, they have to. To your point, Luca, one has to really do that if they're going to properly assess a McCartney record. Anybody who just listens to it once and wants to give a very detailed opinion is not an informed listener or reader, in my opinion. You really need to give it. McCartney's music is such. You need to do that.
Yeah, I think they going back to the promotional thing that the magazines did this time. So many years ago, when New came out, I have a colleague which is a journalist at the time. He reviewed New for this website I'm working with now, I'm collaborating with now, and he had only one listening of the album. He was allowed to listen to it only once, and it was not the one. All the journalists at the time had the chance to listen to New only once. So can you tell me how it's possible to assess an album based on one listening?
You can't.
And in the case of New, I would have would have been
especially
really
that
too hard for me.
I mean, I could maybe see that with like maybe a Dylan record where it's just lyrics and a guitar and little drums. But when you got so many layers, you know, on a McCartney record.
Especially New.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's this time they were wiser, I think, and they decided to spread it over a little bit in advance, and so that was good for me to listen to it again and discover a lot of things and layers and curiosities.
Right.
That's all.
Yeah. So you gave it a 9 out of 10, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. A 9 out of 10.
Could be 8.5, could be 9. The main concept for me is I enjoy the fact that he's giving us this kind of music at 78. Yeah. It's really incredible. So this time I was amazed without maybe. So I said, well, guys, it's not we cannot ask him nothing more than this.
I'm really encouraged by the creativity on this record, like you say, for a 78-year-old man. But I think we should just throw that out the window because we know he has this talent. And just because he's 78 years old doesn't mean that talent goes away. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I was like more excited after these first, because I've listened to it about 10 times, and I'm excited about listening to it for the next time, you know, because of this talent that he's continuing to show us, you know.
Yeah.
And even though there's not that, you know, maybe I'm amazed or coming up, it doesn't need it. Because the album as a whole, from finish, and this might be the strongest, song by song on any of the McCartney albums. You know, if you go track by track by track, it might be one of the strongest of the three.
Of you mean of the trilogy? Of the trilogy?
Yeah, the trilogy. Yeah, the trilogy.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, there's a nice episode I wanted to tell you. Back in June, when it was the McCartney's birthday, this website Rockall asked me for a short piece on his birthday, and instead of talking about the past of McCartney as everybody does, we went for, you know, let's talk about the future. What do you expect from Paul? So do you know what I wrote at the time? I said, well, I'm sure that Paul has been in an unprecedented situation for the lockdown, and I'm sure he's recording.
Yep.
And I want him to throw us 10 songs with him only playing all by on his own. And I would, well, without producer, without engineer, without promotion, without marketing, and the last two things, I was wrong, because Paul is all over the place, and he wants another number one.
Right. Well, you know, Lennon has called him the greatest PR man of all time.
So. Yeah. But I knew that he was doing something. Well, I didn't know, but I knew because I felt
in the back of your mind.
Yeah, it was the right time for him to pull something out, and it did, and I'm very happy. And
it was it was inevitable, because you know, you give this man 3-4 months by himself.
Yeah,
of course he's going to put out a record. Of course, come on,
he's a good, but born. That's his God given talent. He's going to create.
Right. Right. So, you know, from my listens, I'm up there too. I'm going to go on record and give this an 8 out of 10 as of right now. I'm, you know, like I said, I'm looking forward to listening to this album again and again and again and a couple more times. I mean, I really liked, I'm not like you, I liked Egypt Station a lot. Mm-hmm. I really did. But I'm, you know, kind of liking this a little bit more right now. I mean, it's just produced by McCartney, and I miss that. You know,
yeah.
I get these flavor of the month producers, you know, these younger guys, you know, out there putting their spin on it, you know, kind of, I think, takes away a little bit of the McCartney magic. And I think he's given a little bit of this, that McCartney magic on this album.
Well, I think one of the best thing to me is the fact that I listen to the album and it's organic. I mean, it's more right. organic. Also, sound-wise, compared to maybe to Egyptation, which had right. some touch from other producers. So I like the fact that that is more organic.
Right. Yeah. Andy, anything you want to add before we close this one down?
Yeah, no, I'm ready. I think I'm ready. I'll give it an 8 out of 10 right now. I haven't listened to it as right. many times as you because. I don't have. I have a cassette copy of it so far, but that's it.
Do you have it by? Do you have it close hand?
I don't. Okay. It's in the other room, but I have my cassette copy that I played. But I'm very, very happy with the record, and I would rank it above Egyptation also. Right now. Right. So 8 out of 10 for sure for my official. Ranking.
Great. Cool. Well, Luca, thank you very much for joining us. Do you want to, you know, plug anything, plug any work you're working on besides the McCartney project? Sorry, my throat is a little scratchy right now.
No, well, I got other projects in writing which are not McCartney related. And well, I don't know if you wanted me to mention it, but anyway, there would be some Peter Gabriel book at some point.
Oh, very cool.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
Yeah, awesome. That's it. Yeah, we had
drummer Jerry Murata on a couple weeks ago and told us a lot of great stories about Peter Gabriel. It was a really great experience talking to him.
Yeah, so we're trying to put together a book on his songs and his recordings, and because we had some interviews, nice interviews with musicians, so nice book. And I also heard that Peter Gabriel and McCartney worked together again in 2018.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah, so it wasn't just for Politics of Love, then it was another track.
No, Peter Gabriel told in an interview 2 years ago that was like November to 2018 that he went to Paul's studio and they worked together on a couple of things.
Wow.
Paul called him and they worked together on a couple of things. So I don't know what to expect because we are still waiting to hear the Politics of Love, but anyway.
Yeah. I wonder if it could be anything for High in the Clouds, you know, that obviously the film is being worked on now through Netflix, because now we know he did the song with Lady Gaga. Mm-hmm, I think is for that film as well.
So, it's a possibility. Let's see and wait. I'm very curious because Peter Gabriel is one of my favorite artists. There will be a book on it, and it will be published directly. Will be published directly in English. I mean, we're working with a guy because we have a lot of material which is already in English. So I don't think we will go for Italian.
Okay.
What's your favorite Gabriel album, Luca?
I would say the first one.
Okay.
Car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Very good.
Interesting.
Very good. I think mine is three. I think three.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. Well, very close. I mean, it depends from the days.
Yeah, well, that's gonna be a fantastic project, and I can't wait to see that come to fruition. So, best of luck to you.
Thank you.
All right. So, you're also on Twitter as well, Facebook, or how can people get a hold of you if they want to?
Well, I'm on Twitter. I have to rebuild everything on Facebook because for some reason Facebook canceled my page. I don't know why.
You know, they did the same thing to our original Two Legs Facebook page
but
as well.
Do you understand the reason? Because at least it's the reason I want to know, because they didn't answer to me.
They didn't answer us either. No.
Yeah. So I had to rebuild everything on Facebook. So next year I will you know, coordinate the whole project of the book with website, with Facebook and everything. So
great.
At the moment there's no Facebook page, there's Twitter.
Okay, great, excellent. Well, you know, Luca, like I said, this was a great great pleasure. And if you don't have this book, what is wrong with you? Let's go get this one. Sorry, yes. Excuse me. But a really great book to if you just have a song in the back of your mind and you want to learn more about it, this book is a perfect book for that, because it's just, like I said, it just goes through all the songs, just the ones that he wrote, though, so you won't get to the Denny Lane songs like Again and Again and Again on here, but you just the songs that he pretty much wrote and co-wrote, right? So it's the co-writes as well.
Yeah, and co-writings as well. Yeah, Tom, let me mention last thing that that I was mentioned in the wildlife.
Which is
it's a big proud for me, because I remember that was when I was 20, I was talking with a friend or someone, I can't remember, and I said, well, one of my dreams would be to have my name in a McCartney record. I didn't know what I was saying, probably, but I didn't have any idea.
Right.
But then it happened, and believe me, I didn't put together this book with the aim of being in quoted.
Right. Yeah, no,
I did it. I did it also only for my passion, for my pleasure. Then it happened, and it's a great honor, obviously.
Right.
So. Oh, it's fantastic.
Oh yeah,
I remember seeing that, going, "Wow, Luca got in the book. That was an amazing and well deserved. Well deserved."
Yes.
And also thanks to everyone that supported me over these years, you included. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. You got it, my friend. You got it. Absolutely. Andy, anything you want to add before we sign off?
Thanks for everybody to keep supporting us and watching our pages and comments. YouTube stuff is doing very well, so thank you for that, everybody.
Yeah, so you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Two Legs Podcast. You can email us at twolegspodcast@gmail.com. You can find our website at twolegspodcast.com. That's where you can check out a lot of our shows. It'll take you right to the YouTube link. And speaking of YouTube, you can find us at Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. Please check that out. Subscribe to that. Right now, only on our YouTube channel, we're ranking the tracks. We're going album by album and album and ranking the tracks on a weekly basis. So by the time this comes up, we'll be ready to do Speed of Sound.
That's right.
Yeah. So, but anyways, other than that, we really appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to our show. And those comments have been great. We really appreciate those comments. So keep them coming. And everybody out there, thank you. So for Luca, for Andy, I'm Tom. As always, everybody out there, have a great day and a beautiful night. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Listening to Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast, hosted by Tom Hunyadi and